This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us. Bert, welcome.
Hey, Vin. Welcome. Happy Friday. Hey. Happy almost end of the month. And, man, it's going to be summer pretty soon.
Well, you know, Bert, it's a big day for me, almost end of the month, and I started using a new razor in January. So this is 4 months that I've been using the same razor, and one of the tips in the 5 Minute University is how to make that razor last a year. Literally, I've been using the same razor, and so
then you started
shaving.
Do
class, and I'll. You know, so all you do, class, is if you're in the shower, you take the bar of soap, and you know your face is all wet, and you've washed your face and rinse it off. You take take that bar of soap and you wet your face, rub that bar of soap on your face, and be careful not to get it in your eyes. And then your hand is going to be, left hand is going to have some soap on it. And you take that razor blade, that double edge Schick razor blade, and you go backwards. Okay. You actually sharpen that blade by rubbing it with the soap on your hand against the palm of your hand where your thumb is. And you go 5 or 6 times backwards so you don't cut yourself. You go backwards and that sharpens the blade. And that blade lasts you a year and you keep sharpening it every time you use it. And you have to rinse it really, really well, you know, after when you're going to put it away. So you shave in the shower, and one disposable razor will last a year by doing that. And I've been doing it probably since the 1970s. I bought very, very few razors. And you can do it with any kind of razor you want, but the Schick Twin Blade is absolutely by far the best. So that's a tip from the book. Back to you, Bert.
Well, Vin, we're going to talk about a couple of topics today, and we'll see how it goes. I know you've been talking about the food crisis, and it's a big crisis. And, you know, I'll give you what I've been able to glean from it. It's obviously something that's affecting everybody. I mean, think about it. Who does not have to eat? And then we're going to talk about automotive technology. And, hey, you and I might even spar a little when it comes to electric automobiles. So we'll see how that goes. And then we'll look at – we have I always look at questions from the class when two or three people ask the same question. That kind of garners an answer from me, or at least a response if I can. So anyhow, food crisis. Man, have well, first of all, it's the highest food's been, right? But, I mean, it's not just the absolute price. It's the fact how fast prices have been rising and what's going on with the supply chain. It's something that, you know, I think we've seen inflation before in food pricing, but we've never seen a disruption like this to the supply chain. I'm guessing ever in our lifetime, you know, maybe during World War II when we had food rationing, there were self-induced issues on the supply chain. But it's pretty bad, and it's also a worldwide event. It's not just affecting the United States. In fact, as best I can see, we're probably doing the least bad amongst, you know, both first world countries and really the whole world. So it's a problem, and how it's going to be addressed, I guess, is really the issue. Is this going to continue, or is this something that, you know, is transitory? Remember, the Federal Reserve used to say inflation was transitory. Do you remember when they were saying that pretty much every Fed meeting last year? Oh, this is just a transitory effect. Well, they stopped saying that. And we'll see what happens with food. But what's interesting is the fact that it's affected so many different food industries, you know, packed food. Vince, you're a rancher, and you see cattle prices going up. But by the way, Vince, how is that affecting you? Because you're getting hit from both ends. You can, I don't think the price you can get for your cattle has gone up commensurate with what it costs to feed and raise them. Am I correct?
No, that is correct. You're absolutely correct. Fertilizer's up 3x, and I don't know anybody who's fertilizing. As a matter of fact, you're talking about food shortage. Russia controls about 30% of the world's fertilizer supply. And so if we don't buy our bag of fertilizer from Russia, it doesn't matter, because the other countries do and or used to. So they're now buying fertilizer from other sources. So it makes you take 30% of the food fertilizer out of the equation, and you have a massive shortage. So the price is obviously going to go up. And that's why it's gone up 3x. So farmers who plant corn really depend on fertilizer. And they're thinking, are they really going to risk planting corn, which is pretty risk intense? It's dependent on the weather, dependent on rain, sun, and nutrition, fertility in the soil. They're thinking, forget planting corn. They're going to plant something else that uses less fertilizer. And that's exactly what's happening. So does that affect us? Of course it does. And it affects dog food, you know, animal feeds, grains for the cows, all of that. Everything is impacted by this 30% control of fertilizer that's been pulled from the market. So, Bert, you're absolutely correct. It's a worldwide crisis, and fortunately, here in the United States, we're impacted less so far than others. But we're going to join them. We're going to be impacted severely, absolutely severely, in everything related to food. Back to you.
Grow in terms of getting the biggest bang. You know, if you're going to go out and plant, 20 by 20 garden, and you want to put in some vegetables, I know there's so many things you can plant, but it seems to me there's some things that are going to give you more of a bang for the buck. Everybody plants tomatoes, and
okay,
they're great.
I've asked Dr. Shuey that question in a slightly different context, and he's talking about the lettuces, the peppers, the tomatoes, the kale, the beans. Those are what you need to plant. If you ask Gwyneth, she'll talk about potatoes. She talks about beans, and the big thing, Bert, is people have no idea how big the garden needs to be. We're just talking about offsetting your purchases. It is really difficult. You know, we have a 241 acre farm. We've got cows walking all over, and we have wild animals that, you know, that we could kill if we had to, and it would still be difficult for us to feed ourselves. Seriously, very difficult. And that's why family farms had so many children, because they needed them to do the work. And it's tough. It's going to be tough on everybody. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when the United States first came to be, when we were first formed as a country, the number one industry was agriculture. And, it was almost like every other person somehow was involved in food. And that's because we have to eat, and that's what it took to sustain ourselves. Now, what happened was, because of ingenuity and I think just hard work of the American farmer, we were able to reduce the percent of the population that works in agriculture right now because we became so efficient. But I think we've lost track or just took for granted that how important food is and how, we have to eat every day that's pretty much, food and water are number one sustenance that we need. Now, I don't know what we're down to now. I suspect it's less than 10% of the population's involved in agriculture. If we open that up to supply chain and transportation and distribution and sales, it's probably higher, but it's gone down quite a bit. But I'm throwing that out there because obviously one solution, and it won't be for all your food, but one solution to help kind of smooth out the problems if, you know, if you go to the supermarket and there's certain things that aren't there, by growing and having your kind of your family farm, that can help. It's not the complete solution, but the other good thing is you know what you've put in for fertilizer and you don't have to use insecticides. So talk about growing organic. There's the, you know, and there's a question mark on how organic some of the so-called organic foods are. But in terms of keeping chemicals out of your food, there's no better way to do that than to be growing it yourself. I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest advantages of having your own garden.
Yeah, and you want to know about what percentage of Americans are farmers. That's somewhere around 3 million of us who are farmers, and there's 330 million Americans, so less than 1%.
Yeah, wow. Wow, that's and I think the number, like I said, the number becomes higher when you take into account everything it takes to get that tomato from the field to your table. There's a lot more, but 3 million, so that's including farm workers and labor and everything like that, Vince?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, 1%. Wow, I would have guessed 10%, so that's amazingly low, because I believe it was somewhere closer to 50% back 250 years ago.
Well, what we've done is we've added diesel fuel to the equation. And so farmers use diesel tractors and implements to become more efficient. So instead of, you know, Gwyneth Isaacs in Australia uses a spade and a pitchfork and, you know, and a hoe, and she's doing it the hard way, the really hard way, because she doesn't have a tractor. So she's limited to the amount of land that she can handle. And she's literally growing her own food. Literally. And it's a Herculean effort that she's undertaking and has undertook. But here in America, we use, well, and in Europe as well, and in South America, we use tractors to do the work of many farm workers. And it works until the equipment becomes so complicated that we can't maintain the equipment. And that's what's happening right now. I've been talking about cars and how complex they are, and how the owners of vehicles can't maintain them. The mechanics don't know what they're doing. The parts are substandard. You know, that equation is broken. Well, the same thing is happening to farmers. Farmers who have this sophisticated, high-tech equipment cannot maintain their own equipment. They can't maintain it. And many farmers come to us because they can't maintain their equipment, so they want us to. I'm talking about me and my son. You know, when I'm not on the air, I'm helping him fix equipment for other people. Well, I was asking a couple of years ago, I was asking this guy, I saw this huge farm tractor, and it didn't have wheels. It had tracks. It was kind of like a farm tractor with a bulldozer-type track, but they were rubber tracks, and they were huge. I mean, they were as tall as I am. And I asked him, how much do they cost when you go to change those?
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
I was mentioning these large tractors that are really difficult to repair. The tracks are like those of a bulldozer or a military tank, actually bigger than that. And I asked this farmer who's an owner, so what does it cost to put new tracks on that tractor? This tractor is probably the one I was looking at. It's maybe 350 horsepower. It doesn't sound like much, right? 350 horsepower on a tractor. That tractor is so big, you could drive, you could line up some cars, and you could drive over them with this. That's how big this tractor is. And I asked him how much it would cost to, you know, put new tracks on this. Rubber tracks, not metal ones. He said, I don't know. And we trade them in before that happens, because they didn't want to face that. So I'm thinking that it probably costs maybe between $50,000 and $100,000 to put the equivalent of tires on this tractor, because it uses tracks. And I don't know how you could do it. Literally, we have replaced tracks on a small excavator, and it's all we can do. And I'm talking about a small excavator, maybe like 35 horsepower, 40 horsepower, something like that. I don't know how it's done. You need special machinery just to change the tracks. But farmers have painted themselves into this corner. Bert, this is really serious, because farmers cannot repair their own equipment. They used to be able to. Farmers used to be jacks of all trades. No longer. So this food crisis is way bigger, deeper, wider, taller than anyone is really thinking. It really is. It really is a serious problem. Back to you.
Yeah, I'm curious, Vince. How has the reliability of farm equipment gotten? Because I know on cars, I know we talk about all the crazy computers you need to diagnose them, but in general, the last few years, let's say 10 years or so, maybe 20, cars have gotten substantially more reliable. Remember during the 70s and 80s, they were horrible. But it seems one thing that could help alleviate that is if we can increase the reliability of the farm equipment, and then that would at least mitigate the effects of these crazy repairs that farmers have to do.
Are you saying that cars are more reliable?
I think so. We can get into this in a little later in this class, but the fact is an electric car has very little if you look at the components, just explode a parts diagram and what the bill of materials looks like on an electric car, it's less than half the parts of a traditional gas engine car. There's just a lot of stuff that isn't there. And what is there is actually way more reliable. I mean, you don't hear about rebuilding the electric motors in electric cars, at least not so far. Their electric motors are extremely reliable, and there's just not a lot of parts. And, it's sort of like what they did when they made aircraft carriers nuclear. They made them a lot simpler in the propulsion, and the crew of a nuclear aircraft carrier is half of what it was compared to the old-fashioned aircraft carriers. So I'm just throwing that out there that's something that, and I'm not suggesting electric for farm equipment, don't get me wrong, because obviously it's the true advantage for electric is going to be to lower horsepower requirements. But it seems like if they could do something to improve reliability, go on a track, at least the farmers can get more work before they have to do an overhaul to their piece of deer equipment.
I have no disagreement with you that electric motors are much, much simpler than a reciprocating engine like a diesel engine or a gasoline engine. No, there's no question about that. In terms of reliability, here's what's happening. Farm equipment is relying more on sensors, all kinds of sensors, and same thing with cars. And what we're finding is that cars that are roughly 10 years old, and I don't know about newer, much newer than that. I think 2013, 2014, that's about as new as we've ever worked on. They've gotten really complicated.
Oh, absolutely. So
many sensors, and
yeah.
The sensors go bad. And it's not the cost of the sensor so much. It's the labor to replace the sensor in many cases. And so you could be looking at a $40 or $50 sensor and a $500 labor bill to put it in. We'll be right back.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Food and Drug Administration on Thursday proposed two new rules that would ban menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf announced the new rules while testifying before a congressional subcommittee, saying that these actions are appropriate for the protection of the public health.
These proposed product standards, if finalized, would represent a public health victory, helping significantly reduce youth initiation and increase the chances that current smokers quit.
President Biden came under fire Thursday for the creation of the Disinformation Bureau, created under his Homeland Security Department. Critics are sounding the alarm, saying this is just a way for the government to police free speech online. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley called the new board a disgrace that was designed to monitor all American speech. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Former President Barack Obama gave a speech with the Stanford Cyber Policy Center where he called for more government control over the information you are allowed to see. Obama said government control is what's needed to protect democracy.
All of us have an opportunity to do what America has always done at our best, which is to recognize that even when the source code is working, the status quo isn't, and we can build something better together. This is an opportunity. It's a chance that we should welcome for governments to take on a big, important problem and prove that democracy and innovation can coexist. It's a chance for companies to do the right thing. You'll still make money, but you'll feel better. It's a chance for employees of those companies to push them to do the right thing. Because you've seen what's out there and you want to feel better. It's a chance for journalists and their supporters to figure out how do we adapt old institutions and those core values that made those institutions valuable. How do we adapt that to a new age?
Soon after President Obama's speech, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, with her own disinformation problems, also commented online information needs to be regulated in order for governments to fight alleged disinformation. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Bert, you're mentioning farms. I just thought I'd throw out a statistic. The average age of the American farmer is 58 years old. And it keeps getting older every year. And 56.6 of the principal operators of farms, that'd be like me, have agricultural sales under $10,000. 56.6%. And 75.5% of the principal operators have sales under $50,000. I just thought I'd throw that out. So what do you think the likelihood, class, is of farming surviving? And I'm not trying to say woe is Vin Finelli and his family. And we're working day and night. And literally for the last 2 years, our 1040 says zero. Zero. So we are faced with the complexity of new equipment. We don't have any new equipment. Our tractor that I use for baling hay is 1984. And the tractor that I use for spreading manure is 1974. I don't want any new equipment. If I won the lottery, which could never happen because I don't play the lottery, I don't gamble. But would I wouldn't change a thing. I would still stay with the same equipment. I would still slug it out and try to make the farm work. And that's what I'm doing. But what I am telling you is that this food situation is really serious. This fertilizer, 3X, is going to crush the American farm, the small farms. And y'all are going to be hungry. I'm serious. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. If you could see the farmers who are taking used truck tires and putting them on the fronts of their tractors because they can't afford regular farm tractor tires, you know, they're buying them for $10 a piece or $20 a piece because they have a little bit of skin on them, tread. That's what farmers around here are doing. They are literally holding their tractors together with baling wire. Literally. The lift pins, the linch pins are using nuts and bolts instead of the right parts because they can't afford it. And these are, we're talking $10 items that they can't afford. And it's all around here where I live.
Since the Finelli farm, do you grow any food for selling into the market, or is it only food that you use to sustain the cattle that you're ranching?
If people ask me, you know, what the business I'm in, I might say we're in the grass business. You know, we grow. I'm not talking about marijuana. I'm talking about grass, Kentucky 31 and fescue and orchard grass and crab grass, those kinds of grasses for the cows, brome. I might say that we're in the methane business because we raise cows. That's what we do. Now, the vegetables, the plants, that's for our own consumption and to help out our neighbors. We'll give them some. But that's what we do.
How about capturing the methane and selling it?
Well, I could. I could literally build a swimming pool and put a cover over it and capture the cow manure, throw it in there with a little bit of water, and it would start making methane. And I could run, heat our house with it. I could compress it, put it in a tank, and use it to run reciprocating engine-type equipment. Yeah, I absolutely could. But it's better to leave it where it is on the field to grow more grass. So that's what I do. But, yeah, we could. But we're getting to the point where people are really thinking about doing exactly what you said, generating methane for running internal combustion engines and heat. Absolutely true.
You know, Vince, we got cut off there, but we were talking about sensors. It's more like a $5 or $10 sensor and $200 or $300 for labor. And you made me think the cars that I brought back in for service over the past 10 years, number one has been sensors. Number two has been electronic modules. So there you go. That kind of makes your point. But that said, I believe
$5 and $10 sensors?
Well,
I don't know of any.
That may not be what they write on the invoice, but I use sensors here, you know, in the electronics business, we use sensors.
Oh, yeah.
So the actual sensor is like a $5 or $10 part. Now, on your invoice, who knows what they might write it down at. Most of my repairs were done under warranty, so I didn't see that number. But there's not much in a sensor.
No, there's not. But it's the packaging. So for example, the steering position, steering angle sensor. You're probably right, $5 or $10. But by the time they put it in the plastic package with the pigtails and the connector on the end of it, put it in a box and sell it at AutoZone, you're looking at $50.
Yeah.
Then you have to take the steering wheel apart, you know, and that's another, that's like, it could be 5 hours, it could be 2 hours, it could be 10 hours. So these parts are really, really labor intensive.
Yeah,
and the problem is that they only last 40,000 to 60,000 miles. So pretty soon, at 40,000 to 60,000 miles, you're spending $200 to $500, you know, every couple of months just to keep the car going straight.
Yeah. That reminds me of my BMW problem that you helped me with, and they did end up fixing it under warranty, even though the car had just gone out of warranty. But on my particular model, it was the sports car, the Z4, they had gone inexplicably to a all-electric version for power steering. And I don't know why they did that, and they obviously did it before it was ready. And what would happen is if you drove in anything like over 90 degrees, the steering didn't work right. It was kind of scary. And they, for whatever reason, didn't want to grandfather it in to fix, even if it was out of warranty. We did get them to do it. And I didn't see the number, but I was told by the dealer that it was pushing like a $10,000 repair because they had to pull so much out of the car to get into where they had to actually change the steering mechanism with the new improved one. So that was just a little glitch there in a normally reliable car. I think BMWs are more reliable than most, but that was just a design error and putting basically a new type of steering mechanism in before it had been adequately tested. And I guess there's not a lot of 90-degree days in Bavaria, so probably was not adequately tested. You remember that? It was about 10 or 15 years ago we did that.
Yeah. I've worked on a number of BMWs, and I got to tell you, they are the exact opposite of what you found. They are a money pit. They have cooling system parts that are made out of plastic, and they just break. So you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, steam is coming out from under the hood. Next thing you know, your engine overheats. The next thing you know, that inline six-cylinder long cylinder head warps, and now you need a new cylinder head or cylinder head gasket. It's a big job. It's probably a $1,000 job minimum because you have to have the head milled to have it flat again. It's a mess, and
yeah.
I've seen nothing but problems with BMWs.
Yeah, I think Mercedes are more reliable.
Mercedes is more reliable, there's no question. But Mercedes has figured out that BMW's on the right path with these cheap plastic parts, and they're breaking just the same. And so what we're seeing, anything newer than 2004 in a Mercedes, we're seeing problems with. Anything, actually, vehicles newer than 2004, we're seeing all kinds of problems with. And that's the sensors. The sensors are driving their customers crazy. And here's what's happening. The customers are being, they call it nickel and diming them. It's not nickels and dimes. It's hundreds and thousands. And when these sensors fail, the car is pretty much, it's operable. The truck is operable, but not viably operable. So they want it fixed. And they get the $200 bill, the $500 bill, the $1,000 bill. And after a bunch of them, they say, I can't take it anymore. I got to get a new truck. So they opt for a new truck. And we have seen it over and over again. Customers who have had like a 2004 went to a 2006. It got worse. And then they went to a 2011 or 2012, and it got worse. And every time they get a newer truck, it is more complicated, more expensive, and it costs more per mile to keep it on the road. No kidding. And we're seeing, you know, where we, Bert, you've adjusted wheel bearings on the front of a car. It was real simple. You could,
yeah,
you could take the wheel bearing out, pack it with grease, put it back in, adjust it. Now you replace the hub. It's not a wheel bearing anymore. It's a hub. And it has a Hall effect sensor. And the Hall effect sensor communicates with the traction system. So now a wheel bearing that used to be $2.99, you need to have an inner bearing and an outer bearing. So for $6, you'd have the whole set. Now it's a couple hundred dollars for a hub plus probably, let's say, $150 to replace it. And they only last a few years. Whereas the original wheel bearings from the 1960s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they lasted the life of the car. The ones that I have on my 1996 Mercedes is a rear-wheel drive. It has those old-fashioned wheel bearings. It's got over a quarter of a million miles on them, the same wheel bearings. I haven't had to replace them. But just about every Chevy truck that comes in here, we've had to replace the wheel hubs, front wheel hubs, because the bearings wear out. And
yeah,
it's expensive to replace them.
Yeah, I think the older Mercedes are very reliable. The exception, I believe, is, do you remember when Chrysler and Mercedes were the same company, and Mercedes was starting to use some Chrysler engines and some other parts? I think that's the exception, because some of those were not matched for Mercedes cars, and I think that created some problems for Mercedes when they tried to, you know, stick in a Chrysler engine into a Mercedes, and it didn't work very well.
They call that the power of two equals, Mercedes equaling Chrysler. And they had design philosophy clashes, and the two cultures didn't work very well together, and so they came apart. So I remember telling our son, who has a Dodge truck, in 1999, and I'd say, how's your Mercedes truck? Now, it really was a Dodge truck. It's just, that was the beginning of when the two companies were merging. And it was a catastrophe. It really was. Dodge makes a really good truck, or they used to. I'm talking about, you know, up to around 2001, a really good, strong truck. We have two of them here at the farm, and they have a lot of miles on them. One has almost 500,000 miles on it. And it's working real well.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds. And if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us in California. Bert, have you bought a dozen eggs recently in California?
No.
Okay. Because I was looking at how much eggs cost in each state, and I'm looking at $2 for a dozen eggs in California. But,
wow.
But that, No. That's 2021. They're $3 a dozen now, average across the United States. When there were $2 in California in 2021, there were $1.18 in Missouri. So the price of everything food related is going way up, class. And really, you should consider getting out of Dodge. You should consider buying a farm. You should consider raising chickens and animals for food and having your own garden. At least start planting at least a garden in a 5-gallon bucket. At least get used to gardening, because during World War II, food was really scarce. And people had victory gardens. And they would have land that would be set aside in the cities where people would have a village garden, if you will. They would work together. And they had buckets and pails and boxes, wooden crates on the balconies of their apartments if they had balconies. They would have them in their backyards if they had small city properties. That's what people did because they had to. That's where we're headed, class, in my opinion. We are headed right back to that. Bert?
Yeah, so a slight change of topic real quick to kind of end here is, we talk a lot about electric cars, and obviously the problem, and we've discussed it before in class, is the batteries. You know, how are they produced? What do we do with them? And I just looked up a statistic that most EV batteries are not being recycled. They're just going to, they might call them recycle plants, but they're just dismantling them and disposing of them. And we need to figure that out. You know, it reminds me going back to when horses were being replaced by horseless carriages at the turn of the century. And, not this century, the last one, Vince. And people were saying, oh, man, I don't want a horseless carriage. I mean, what are we going to do with, how do we dispose of it? And somebody said, well, they'll put, people were predicting there'd be junkyards full of old automobiles, and people said, you know, the horse, you could just bury it in the backyard, and in a few years it would decompose. And, you know, that came to pass. How many, you know, you drive around, I've driven cross-country many times, I know you have as well, and it's surprising how many junkyards you pass full of old automobiles. And I don't know why they just don't melt down the metal. I guess eventually they do, but there's so many of these junkyards, and I'm worried the same thing's going to happen to EV batteries if we don't solve the problem. Other than that, I believe EVs are the way we're going to go. It is going to replace internal combustion engine, just like cars replaced horses, but we have to solve the battery problem. That's critical. And the reason, Vince, I've mentioned this before, why EVs make sense. It's just, and you know, we talk about on USA Prepares Truth and telling what the facts are, and the facts are just overwhelming in terms of the efficiency of the energy. So we need to use less energy on the planet, and an EV is about 90% efficient, and a traditional gasoline car or vehicles somewhere around 25% efficient. So that's the amount of energy actually going to your wheels. And not only that, in the EV, you can capture the energy back and put it, you know, reverse charge it back into the battery. So that's a secondary advantage, and that's something you can't do in a gas car. But we're really looking at the 90% versus 25%, and that's overwhelming. So I believe we will have EVs take over. We got to solve the gas station thing too, right? They didn't have gas stations in the old days. Now we have them everywhere. We got to put charging ports everywhere. But I believe that's the direction we're going. It's inevitable simply because that's what we need to do to preserve the planet and to improve our efficiency of getting from point A to point B. Vince?
You waiting for me to say something?
Well, I mean, I'm throwing it out there because you can say a lot of bad things about EVs that, you know, we create pollution to build the batteries, which is true. As I mentioned, what do we do with the batteries? They don't last that long, and we have to figure out a better way to recycle them. But the amount of resource of energy we use is such an advantage. And, you know, as I've stated before, if we were inventing automobiles or horseless carriages today instead of 100, 125 years ago, they would probably all be electric. And we probably would have never even gone to gasoline as a fuel, because it just makes so much sense. Vince?
Okay. I'm just going to bite my tongue. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say a word. Now, Brett, I appreciate you being with us.
You got it.
And I look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same station, class. What you really need to do is grow your own food as much as you can. Buy some food for the interim. Buy some cans and some. Get some pasta, get some vegetables. Do it very quickly. The price will be going up. There's absolutely no question about it. Above all, honesty and integrity. What happens next is up to you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.